Hi, this is Mitch Gallagher from Sweetwater. September is the best month of the year for guitar players because we're celebrating guitars, amps, pedals, and accessories all month long with Guitar Month. We've got exclusives from Marshall, Walrus Audio, Gretsch, and the incredible Fender Custom Shop GT11 Strats and Tellys. Limited time offers, 48-month interest-free financing on many brands, price drops, instant rebates, giveaways, and so much more. You definitely don't want to miss Guitar Month at Sweetwater. Follow us on social media, visit sweetwater.com, or call 800-222-4700.
Welcome to Guitar Radio Show, the show dedicated to the guitar player, guitar maker, gear builder, and purveyors of such items that you may not know about, but should.
Folks, welcome back to Guitar Radio Show. Our guest today is somebody that has such a great career and has such a long and storied career, and I can't wait to ask him about so much stuff. He has a new record out that came out on January 11th of 2019, and it honestly has been one of the records that has been in like heavy rotation in my on my phone and on the stuff here in the studio and at home. And I love this record. It's called Who Shot John? This guest, I got to tell you, folks, he's played with Carly Simon, Natalie Merchant, Noel Redding, Phoebe Snow, and you might know him from his work with the Spin Doctors. But he has a new record, like I said, it's called Who Shot John? It's his third solo release. Mr. Eric Shankman. How are you, Eric? Welcome to Guitar Radio Show.
Hello. Hi. Bang. I'm good.
Yeah. How are things in Toronto today?
Toronto's nice today. It's nice. It's like kind of, you know, high, windy, sort of, you know, big billowy clouds, very nice, you know, high pressure. And it's a sunny day, and the leaves are all dark green. It's this time of the summer. I love it here at this time of the year.
That's beautiful.
It's very, very cold for all my southern friends that I, you know, nobody likes to come up here in the wintertime, but in the summertime, it's just super, super nice. So
yeah, you would not catch me up there like November and December. No way.
That's what saves us all, is y'all are like, you know, and, oh man, how do you live up there? It's so cold. And we're like layers. That's my answer right there. That's all you need to know.
So, man, this record, Who Shot John, is so freaking good, man. We heard on the way in, we heard the song I'm All Right, which, you know, I got to tell you, I want to talk to you about sequencing on this record, because to me, a good record, a record could be good or bad, but depends on the sequencing. I mean, you can have great songs, but if the sequencing is all screwed up, it could be like, you know, the screw up the listener. This was such a perfect opener for the record, man.
Thank you very much. I'm glad you mentioned the order, actually, because oddly, that actually turned out to be my show too. Like if I do that as a show, that's the show. That's the order.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and so I learned from the order, but at the same time, I don't know, man. It's like you know, I guess when we used to make like vinyl. And then cassettes after that, and really CDs kind of too. It was like order was more important, I think. Now it's sort of like, doesn't seem like it's so important, but I did it anyways.
Why do you think it's not important?
I don't know if it is or it isn't. I just know that I was encouraged, you know, hey, it doesn't really matter. You got your Spotify and your download, your stream, this and that, the other thing. And so you put one thing out at a time, you know, and it's true, right? Like, you know, if you don't want to invest so much art into, you know, that just have it plunk into the water and sink, you know, I mean, you know, there's so much good stuff out there. I mean, I could spend, you know, I could have no free time and still be not hearing all the stuff I want to hear.
Oh yeah. It's a rabbit hole.
You know what I mean? But to me, that order is like, it's really just like a set list, you know, cause I love playing live. Mm-hmm. I mean, I really do. I've always loved playing live, and it's really important for me, like, to work the stuff out. And, as I was telling you before, when I first talked to you today, just a little bit ago, it's like, I need to play a lot in order to sort of be a little bit on my game. So, you know, a set is really important to me. And my other gig, my day job, Spins, in the 90s, I used to write the set list, but in the 2000s, our drummer, Aaron, who's another Texan, by the way, hails from Dallas. I just saw him this morning at 3 a.m., said goodbye to him for a couple of days from the airport. And he writes the set list now. So I think, long answer, small question, that the order on my record is actually extra double struck cool, because I've been like not writing set lists, and every time Aaron goes away, I'll write the set list, and I love it, you know. So sets are important to me. On my regular gig here in the city too, I do a dive bar downtown Toronto, 3 sets every Wednesday night, live blues. Sets are really important there too. So I don't know, sequencing is important, man. So I'm glad you dig it. It works as a show.
Well, you know,
it really works great as a show.
And that's really amazing, because to me, it's such a, first off, it's a very live sounding record. And yes, I mean, the best part about the record is that it is something that really should be listened to in its entirety. You know, it's one of those type of records. It's not like, you know, I mean, yeah, I have favorite songs, and I'm definitely want to talk to you about those. But I really like the idea of that. It's a full statement. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's got a flow to it. Yeah,
absolutely. Ebb and flow. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Now, for you, how does this differ for you from the other two solo records you did?
Let's see. Well, this is the best one, because it's the most recent one.
Right.
And I know I'm kind of a band guy, like, historically. You know, I'm sort of lazy by nature to a certain extent. And although I've always worked really hard on music, but I mean, just to the extent that if I see a hammock, so, you know, it's the most recent one. So it really, to me, a record's always really been about, like, you know, about where you are now as well. Like, I kind of take it literally. It's a record of time. So this is my, you know, it's like where I'm at, when I was recorded, which was it took me about 10 months, because I pieced it together different sessions.
Right.
Which is also interesting, actually, that you like the order and I piece it together for that long. A lot of people say it sounds live. You know, it's not really, it wasn't really cut live. Like, it sounds live, but it was cut, completely live in the sense that it was like me and the drummer, either one of them, Cody or Van, and a track vocal sometimes, otherwise a ghost vocal, always a bed guitar and the drum track.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then I took it up to Ontario and Canadified it with Sean Kellerman, my co-producer, who I love to death. I haven't played bass on this. Normally he's just a killer guitar player, but we were just messing around with a lot of this stuff. And so, we brought it up to Canada. We added bass and the vocal and then some lead guitar. My friend Tim Thorney up in Singleton, Ontario, and Adam Fair, they got a studio up there where I did the vocal tracking. And he's got a 63 bassman, like with the original tubes and the original speakers and like everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I cut the solo on I'm All Right, a bunch of stuff on No Pain. There's just places, and if you hear the I'm All Right, the first track, the guitar solo, that's the 63 bassman. Oh my God, I love that amplifier.
That's the Barracuda amp. That's the amp they use.
Is it?
Yeah, for Barracuda.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
yeah,
man.
So, you know, it's interesting. You mentioned the two drummers. You had Van Romaine, who plays with Enrique. And, of course,
Steve Morris forever. And he was, like, one of Bernie Worrell's favorite drummers, too.
Oh, wow, really? Okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
And you got the great Cody Dickinson from North Mississippi All-Stars, who I've seen play so many times, and he's just astounding.
Don't you love Cody?
Oh, my God, I love him. And for me, you know, I started out as a drummer, but I was a horrible drummer. But I love the drums, and I write with drums, and drums really kind of fuel me and fuel my guitar playing. Do you find that rhythmic element is so key to what you do in regards to like riffs and stuff like that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, like I'm kind of a, you know, I don't know. I play the guitar a bit like a drum too, I think.
Yeah, you're so percussive. Yeah.
Yeah. I play hand drums like a little bit. Like a teacher of mine and a good friend of mine that just recently sadly departed, Jerry Gonzalez, the famous New York trumpeter conguero, and the architect of Fort Apache Band.
Mm.
He taught me a bunch of hand drum stuff, and I used to go up to the Bronx actually and do it. He did this workshop up there every week. I go up there every week on the train. I learn how to play some hand drums. So I like you know, thrown down with the drummer on a rhythmic level, definitely. And then the music is kind of like, it's a bit more free for all of us guitar players. I mean, you know, it's just it's just good. You know what the bass might do, but it might not do that if somebody else plays it. And so, you know, and you, I already knew the song, so pretty good bet, you know, that I guess that's why it sounds live. That's got to be why it comes off live, is because it was cut live with the drums and the guitar.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's a dance.
Yeah. And what's interesting too is like, these are two pretty different drummers in essence, but it doesn't sound like there's two different drummers on the record.
That's because I know them both like the way I know them. Right. And like, they have one thing in common with me. Both Cody and Van, and they don't even know each other. Still, they don't know each other.
Mm-hmm.
Cody and Van both, and I have like been saying to each other for years, man, let's get together and record some music. They both said to me like repeatedly, like, you know, I have a studio in my house. And I don't have a studio in my house. I've tried it, but it just never worked for me. And so I took them both up on that. So they have that in common. That's what you're hearing, is you're hearing that common thread that I heard, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But they're both amazing drummers and very, very different. But able to interpret where I'm coming from. I knew that for sure. And that's what was really important to me. That's why I reached out to them initially, Van. And then I kind of got the idea. I was like, and then I was like, well, Cody's, you know, I have the same relationship with Cody in this way. So I call him up.
Yeah.
I've known Cody for a long, long time. And so that was terrific. It was great. I just went and hung out at his place with him and his mom for like one weekend, and then a couple months later for another weekend.
Right. What blows?
I actually slipped on the floor.
What blows my mind is that I thought for sure when I heard the title track, I thought for sure, oh, that's Van, but it's not. It's Cody, right?
The title track.
Yeah.
Who Shot John?
Yeah.
No, that's Van playing drums.
Oh, it is Van. Playing
drums on Who Shot John.
Oh, okay. I thought it was Cody.
Real hard. He's in there. That's why, yeah. I actually wanted Cody to play electric washboard on a bunch of stuff, and it ended up turning into drums. Cody plays drums on the second. Cody plays drums on Locked in the House All Day, and he plays drums on Fortune Teller, and he plays drums on Agent Orange Blues.
Oh, okay.
And he plays electric washboard on So Far Away, Who Shot John, and No Pain.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you work with two different drummers like that, and they are pretty different from each other, does it inspire your performance at all differently from one drummer to the other?
Yeah, but it's not a function of that for me. It was just a function of working with one guy and then another guy who I was thrilled to be working with, really honestly.
Right.
You know, it's like, to be able to hit a level where you can go and work with a drummer that's that good,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, mm-hmm. to me, it thrilled me. I mean, that's another reason why it's my favorite solo album, right?
Yeah.
Is because I made another one with Van like 20 years ago. It's like, it's just my awareness for where I'm at and how I express it, because I've just been playing for that much longer.
Right.
You know, right? Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, and you're right. You know, it's sort of like, this record is where you're at right now, and what you're thinking, what you're feeling, what you're expressing. It's a thumbnail of who you are right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's all little portraits in the blues, really. It's really,
yeah.
If you want my opinion, it's like 10 songs, little thumbnail sketches in the blues,
mm-hmm.
by me,
mm-hmm.
and some collaborators here and there on like the different, like,
views
of how I see it.
Mm-hmm.
It's really my story, how I see it.
Yeah, and iTunes classifies it as a blues record.
Yeah, it was on a blues label. I mean, the genres are driving me nuts. I wish I could rewrite the metadata, right? Because I've just made a bunch of videos, and I want to put them out. And I'm like, I don't know, like, that the blues market is necessarily really, you know, as open to me as it might be. So it's like there's a lot of, but, you know, I'm the kind of guy that just keeps pushing. So I'm
right.
Just populate my YouTube channel and Instagram and
right.
go after, you know, this sort of thing and play out in the fall. I'm trying to put together a couple of weeks, maybe not all at one time, where one of the things that I like is I can also do this record with various rhythm sections. I've done it with a lot of different guys, and I guess that's popular now because it's a function of the times. But, you know, I mean, I've done this show with Sean on bass and Cody, Sean on bass and Van. The gig I do on Wednesdays, I've done the show with three different drummers, Milsham, Adam Warner, Glenn Milsham, and this is the third guy. They're terrific. Gary Craig up here in Toronto. Stan Mizak knows the tracks. He's a great bass player. I mean, even Leo knows some of them. That's the guy that plays with Sue, right?
Right.
Here.
Yeah.
So it's funny, man. So there's a little bit of the blues in all of it. And, you know, so I guess that's why it's on a blues label.
Yeah. And it's funny because, I mean, yeah, it's definitely, it's there. The blues is there. But, you know, you could say that about it. The blues is in everything in my world.
Yeah, but, you know, the question for me is really, though, is like in the blues market, though, like, you know, a blues purist, you know, might like listen to a shade of this record and
right.
be like, what the fuck, man?
Right.
And that's a concern for sure, because, you know, I do have my, I'm very attached to the blues, right? Like,
right.
I really am. I don't listen to any music that doesn't, I can't hear the blues in it.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Honestly, but right. I would consider myself a jazz musician, right? Essentially.
That's interesting.
Know? Like in my heart, yeah.
Right. You know, and it's funny because,
even the fact that the jazz has blues, always has the blues in it.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Yeah. Well, it was born from that. I mean, right? I mean,
yeah, it all comes out sounding like rock. It's weird. But,
well,
there you go.
Well, you know, I mean, there are so many people out there that are they get classified in the blues thing, and you could say, well, it's a different form of blues. I mean, yeah, if you want to talk about blues purists and people that are playing pure blues, I think it's a very small group of people that are playing pure blues, and then there's these outcroppings of that of the genre that are just as valid. I mean, you know, like Walter Trout, you know, he considers himself a blues man, but he's really a blues rock guy in many respects, you know,
yeah.
whereas for me, Sue Foley is true blues. That's, you know, and Jimmy Vaughn,
yeah,
that's
right down,
blues.
Like, right down an alley of the blues, it's true. Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, purists, who else is like,
Kid Ramos.
Like,
Kid Ramos is pure blues,
sure.
You know?
Or Sun Seals.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you've got
years in the blues.
Right, and then you've got those people who, like myself also, who, you know, who maybe heard, you know, Zeppelin's take on the blues first and then went, oh, wait a minute. They got this somewhere else. Let's go digging. And you go digging and you go, oh, I get it now. You know?
Yeah.
There's that whole trip. So, but let's jump into the record. I got favorite tracks and I want to ask you about them and about the about the recordings of those. And if we could maybe talk about the gear too, because.
Sure, whatever you want.
I love your tone, love your setup and everything else. And I want to kind of. If you wouldn't mind kind of exposing that to the world, that'd be cool.
Yeah, sure.
So
absolutely.
On the opening track, I mean, you mentioned earlier, I think you said that was the lead guitar solo on there is from on that
Tim's 63 Basement, yeah.
Right.
I think it's Tim's, it might be Adams.
Yeah.
God bless him, whoever bought it.
And what was the guitar on that?
Pretty much, that was my Flying V.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Which V now is that?
It's Grace Potter.
Oh, it's the Grace Potter V. Okay.
Yeah, okay. I played one at the showroom one day in New York and didn't need to like it. And it was just, it just got stuck on it. And they ended up finding me one. They only made 1,500 of them. So I have this one that's got a broke apart pickguard because I keep breaking them. You know, that's one of the problems with the Flying V is you break the pickguard on the cord. Putting the guitar down, but it's a great guitar. It's her model of the Flying V. Essentially, I think it's a 69 copy, like with the thin line neck, and it's light, and I love it. And it's a bit like a Cadillac, though, the V. You know, it's got that big sort of fin on the back.
Yeah,
it's kind of a cool thing to deal with. I deal with it every week on my gig, and I put it on that record. Like if I play out, I try to play the V. Use Telecasters as backups. I got three wonderful Telecasters by a guy here in Toronto. And then the pickups are all by Thomas Nielsen, Cream Tea pickups.
Oh, I've heard of him. Yeah,
all my pickups except for like one on the guitars that I use these days. I have two old, you know, I got an old Strat and an old SG,
mm-hmm.
but I don't really play them out. I don't even really play them on record anymore. They're also, you know, beat up and old, but they're great guitars.
Doesn't he also do some work, that pickup manufacturer for Billy Gibbons, I believe?
Yeah, Billy, I think, had some kind of an interest in the company, maybe even, because Thomas was building a lot of stuff for Billy. Did you see those pickups with the purple lights?
Yeah.
Yeah, Thomas built those.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, he's really cool, man. He's this crazy Norwegian guy. He is really crazy, man. He's cool. I love Thomas. He's great. Anyways, I met him through Richard Fortas. You know who that is?
I sure do.
Yeah, so Richard and I played in the same Zydeco band in New York, not at the same time, one after another, but I've known him for years. And he said something online about Thomas' pickups, because he was, like, flirting with them for a minute, you know, whenever that was, 10 years ago. And I was really dissatisfied with it. Like, I felt like my whole sound needed to be, you know, I needed to update. You know, I felt like the technology was better, and guys were building better stuff now than I had put together, you know, in the late 90s and whatnot. So it just kind of like this little beacon. So I instantly got in touch with him, and he gave me Thomas's number, and I've sort of been using his shit ever since.
Yeah. Richard played with the Compulsions, I think, right? In New York?
Yeah. And he's just a great, great guitar player.
And then does work with GNR and stuff too, so.
Yeah, he's Guns N' Roses, man.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
That's a hell of a gig.
For like 10 years. I don't even know. How does anybody do that? He's like Superman. He's been able to play with Axl Rose for like over a decade.
That, you know, you got to be a pretty zen guy to do that.
Yeah, I mean, like, come on. That's crazy, right? Who can do that?
Oh my God!
You know, so why wouldn't I take his advice on things?
Yeah, right. Exactly. He's like Buddha.
Yeah, not Buddha. That's Buddha.
That's funny. So there's another track I really love. It's Locked in the House All Day. The verse has got this cool new. It's such a New York swagger, Johnny Thunders kind of a verse. Until you get to that until you get to that chorus, and then there's this cool time change, and it's like, whoa, where'd you take us? This is fucking cool. I love that track, man.
Yeah, it's sort of Hendrix inspired, pretty heavily.
Yeah,
Hendrix inspired. I wrote that song with Corky Lang.
Oh wow,
my old brother friend. Yeah, so the two of us have been writing songs for about 30 years together, off and on. So it's one of the two co-writes on the record.
Great track. I really like that. I love the difference between the verse and the chorus.
It's a breakup song, and it's just a good old breakup song. Reminds me of like a Joe Walsh song or something.
Absolutely.
Like that. I've done a video for that one that'll be putting out on, you know, Instagram at the very least, you know, soon. If you just check my if you spell my name out and put it into your phone, like, it'll spit out like at least four videos by the time Christmas rolls around. So
okay,
this
cool
stuff that you're digging, this record that you're digging, will be like, I'll have a lot of video on it, like by the end of the year.
Excellent. Very good.
That I'm really, really psyched about. Actually, I've been like just kind of part-timing with this friend of mine downtown, like making videos for the last several months, just putting content together. So I'm trying to figure out how you put that out.
Yeah.
You know? So that's why none of it's out yet.
Well, obviously some of it'll be on YouTube.
It's hard to figure shit out these days.
Well, because there's so much white noise. You know, I mean,
you drop something in the bucket and it sinks. So it's like, be careful, like, you know, try to, exactly. You know, as I said, like my day job, you know, it's like, I've got an interesting situation. I have to keep my day job. Like, I'm being sort of coy about it. My day job is the spin doctor. It's not a bad day. It's a pretty damn good day job.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Considering the fact that that's a real, like, a democracy that doesn't work in music, right? You know, it's a real one, folks. We've been together for 30 years off and on.
I know.
And it's still, you know, four-way. We go four ways on most things, and it's very collaborative. It's really kind of a wonderful musical endeavor to be involved with these guys you play with for so, so long. But I have to fit my thing in between that.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, like, even, you know, it's challenging for sure.
Oh, I get it.
So, you have Locked in the House All Day is the breakup song. So, I'm All Right. It's like the I'm Okay song. And then the next one is like, you know, the final chapter song.
Mm-hmm.
You know, very Hendrix inspired. Me and Corky wrote it. And, let's see. What else is good about it? It's only, you know, what's interesting about it is that song is that it's really just guitar, bass, and drums and vocal.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some background vocal, but if there's no more than one guitar, it's just, I guess it's the lead guitar. It's a single lead guitar, but it's just the one guitar track.
Yeah, it's killer. And once again, it comes across really, really live. So
yeah, it's cut live with Cody.
Yeah,
it's a in cool, his studio.
Cool track. And moving,
and I think I ghosted it vocal and sang it later again.
Yeah. So moving on to a track called No Pain. I love that. It's a badass riff against that vocal line. It was such a great counterpoint.
Thank you. Yeah. I liked it too. Yeah, it's cool.
You know,
little songy.
One of the things that I find really interesting, what you do, that you also do with the Spin Doctors, is I love what you do in between the cracks of a song. The fills, they're so tasty, and they make perfect sense. It's like you hear you do those little, you know, just those little inserts in between a vocal line or in between as you're moving from one part to another, and you go, son of a bitch, that's tasty. I wish I would have thought of that.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, that's really cool. Is that something that you were inspired by from somebody else, or is that just something that kind of happened because you're a rhythmic player?
It's probably the latter, and additionally, it's like I think I've been playing behind singers for a long time.
Yeah.
I started to sing more. I've sang more like periodically throughout my years, but in the last 3-4 years, I've really done more singing than I have since the 90s, actually. And my voice has gotten, I don't know, it's settled down. It's got, I kind of like it. And I think that my guitar playing with it is kind of different. It's more natural even. I think I've always been like kind of crafty a little bit, like, because mm-hmm. it's my interest. Mm-hmm. You know, I love growing up, all those guitar players that, like, I mean, like the Skinner guy, Ed King,
yeah.
Or whoever did the fills, like the fills, all those fills. I was always crazy about that shit. Mm-hmm. And I would always bear it out, like those little weird parts.
Mm-hmm.
Even in jazz, same thing, some little weird saxophone turn. I'd like go in and investigate, you know, check it out.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I said I consider myself a jazz musician, because if I get a little thing in my head, I'll like take it through everything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So No Pain is kind of like lives there.
Yeah, it's cool.
Like it's sort of, you know, it's a funny melody. It's a really cool kind of dancey riff thing, mm-hmm. and then, you know, an attempt at a big pop chorus. Well, who can fault me for that?
Right. Well, I mean, it's all about the hook, ain't it?
It's all about no pain. It's really all about like that old expression, no pain, no gain.
Yeah.
And my friend Ronan said, no pain, no gain. Fuck that. She goes, no pain, no pain. And I was like, so it was a long time before that lyric, before I wrote the lyric, but that's where it came from.
Oh, that's cool. Who would you say is your guy as far as your player? Who is the person that really moves you the most?
Different people over the years, probably. The go-to, you know, there's a lot of people once I hear them. I think maybe Albert. Yeah.
Albert King?
Maybe Albert's like just the master of all time.
Yeah.
You know, maybe. There's a lot of other ones too. I mean, I'm just trying to say, you know, somebody that really invented their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, who the hell played that stuff before him?
Mm-hmm.
You ever hear it? I never did.
No.
I mean, that I like that quote where he says, I can't remember the story, and I'm not going to pretend to, but the punchline is he says to somebody, you know, give me my $50,000. I think it's Clapton. It's like, you know, because he took his whole thing.
Oh.
Like made a solo out of it or whatever it was. Like, you know, it's just great. You know, it's like, I mean, Albert invented that shit, and he's such a great singer too.
Yeah. Oh,
I think
yeah.
Maybe if there was somebody that really can walk out on the forecourt and come back in and do the encore before the song's even over, it's Albert King.
he once taught, you remember Tommy Bolin?
Uh-huh, yes, sure
did. He once told Tommy Bolin, never, you know, if you're in a place for two nights or more than one night, never blow your cookies on the first night. Don't show them everything you got, because you want to come back the next night and show them something else.
That's such a great fucking sentiment, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow, I love that he thought about it like that. Think about the guitar, think about performance like that.
Yeah.
So I picked a good one.
Yeah, you sure did.
And you can hear him all over everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Dwayne, Jimmy, like all those guys, Eric Clapton,
yeah.
All those guys play Albert.
Well, yeah, you know, I often, I listen to, like, if I listen to Stevie Ray Vaughan, I hear, I hear Jimmy.
I hear Ray Vaughan does tons of albums.
I hear Albert King and Jimi Hendrix melded together. That's what I hear.
Yeah, mostly,
and then some Albert Collins, you know. But mostly,
but it's, he's different again. Albert Collins, the other Albert, he's like, he's different again. He's just this. I always stop myself when I said Albert. I stop myself and before I said his last name, because I wanted to see what you would say, but also because there's always that question: which one do you say?
Yeah, yeah. Well, and once again, like you said, totally different. Well, Albert Collins has got such a jazz flow to what he did. His flow was completely different, where Albert King was ripping the neck off the guitar.
Yeah, they're both very vocal, and Albert Collins are very funky, and Albert King is like this crooner from, you know, from this Mars.
Yeah.
I think he was a drummer first. That's got to be it.
Yeah, yeah. Very cool. So, the last track on the record, and this is the track we're going to close the show with today, is Ancient Orange Blues.
It's,
love the fuzz on there. And it's, once again, you know, part of that whole sequencing thing, it's such a perfect closer for the record. Tell me about that. I know there's a story with this tune. I know I listened to the lyrics real close.
You know what? Before I go on, I want to throw one more thing in on No Pain. That is, I said it before, but Cody plays electric washboard on that song.
Right.
And it's the way that washboard is on that tune is really cool. It sounds like a rattlesnake. I just wanted to mention that.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now moving on. Agent Orange, it was, I recorded that with Cody at his place. And the sound is the funkiest little amp. If anybody that goes there will see it, it's like a 5-watt Epiphone amp. I think it's an Epiphone amp. It's like 5 watts or 10 watts, and it's tiny. Not as small as, it's like about the size of a big old transistor radio, and it doesn't work properly, so it keeps going off and on all the time. Yeah, I had to have my foot on it. I think I had my foot on it, and I was playing that shit in a closet too, because his vocal booth was like a closet with this tiny little window. it was a lot of fun with a red light, and so that's the sound. It's like a tiny amplifier. That you want to get a huge fuzz sound, that's how you do it. Go for the tiny amp. So that's what that is.
Was it one of those
vocal?
Was that amp? It just had a volume tone. What, a volume tone and bass?
Pretty much like volume tone. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like tone pretty much open and volume pretty much as loud as it would go.
I think I know which one you're talking about. Grained. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it says Epiphone on the front. It's like a little one. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got like a almost like a kind of a knockoff Marshall face kind of thing.
Right, white knobs.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
Couldn't tell you that it was dark in there.
That's funny.
But I did have my foot on it for sure to keep it on. Like, and even then it cut out. We had to do all sorts of weird surgery to try to like replicate these little pieces that were just stuck out. But and then I sang it at the same time, and I got to admit, I made it up at the same time too. So I improvised the whole thing. That's how come my voice is all blown out on it.
Right.
So, it was pretty much like just right about the. That's the most immediate how I feel now song on the record.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly, and fitting that it would be the 10th song. It's the apex. It's the culmination.
Mm-hmm.
It's like really where I'm at now.
Yeah. I can see it.
It's kind of hill country-ish, and it's like it's a blues song, and it's very direct, and it comes from the heart, and it's like about how a relationship will save your life, and then it's about how you're supposed to honor the things that matter, and then it's about how fucked up the world is ever since the president started telling lies like they were, flavors of ice cream.
Yeah.
That's about where it's at. I'm not going to get political about it any more than that, but it's just I was brought up by a single woman, and I remember the Donald from the 80s in Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't take it seriously. It's just like, please. So that's pretty much where that's at. It's my one political person. I'm going to have like a really good video out on that, man. Like, we made a great video for that. And it's super, super, super cool. It's better than the song. And cool. I just love it. Yeah, cool. So hopefully you get a chance to check that out. But yeah, it's a strong blues, man. That's like really just like, please, you know, like, you know. Well, like, sing about something real. There it is.
Yeah, and it's, what's great is it's the, you know, it's a true blues in the sense that it's got this heaviness to it, it's got a tension to it, but yet it's still got a very modern vibe too, which is neat.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's kind of hill country. I was inspired by Cody. Mm-hmm. I was in Mississippi at the time. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's direct and it's to the point. It's like from the heart. It's not just about this or just about that. It's about how trying to think about everything at the same time can be complicated, and you know how the blues is a form that can actually, you know, allow you to, you know, spit all those things out at the same time. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's great because it, like, particularly making a video of it too and playing it out live. I play these songs live, so, and playing the songs live is like, it allows me to work those feelings through.
Yeah.
So it's very important. I sing the shit out of that song now.
That's cool.
We just made a concert. Sean and Van and I did a concert and filmed the whole thing in like 360 cam with people there and stuff. Like about 2 weeks ago. So I'm gonna have like online like probably 3 or 4 tunes live and 3 or 4 video tunes as well by the end of the year. They'll be all that'll be out on the record, like, you know, on the songs on the record, in other mm-hmm. words. So they'll be mm-hmm. you know, there'll be picture on like most of the tunes, most mm-hmm. of the stories, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very cool. So you got a busy rest of the year.
I do. Every weekend I play with the Spin Doctors.
Right.
At various places across America. And then I'm trying to put together a tour for November, you know, some dates in November, October, where I can take my show out of the city of Toronto where I live, really. Like, I play every Wednesday night here. You know, if you want to come to a great town and see a great night of music, you know, fly down to Toronto on any Wednesday night, and I guarantee you, I'll sing for you all night long and play the guitar.
That's cool.
And there's, you never know who's going to show up. Just ask Sue Foley. She'll tell you.
That's right. That's right. That's super cool. Did anybody video that?
Yeah, there's a little bit on my Facebook page. I think somebody put like a little snippet anyways.
Okay, cool. I got to go check it out. That's really cool.
Like
I said, I'm going to text her later and talk to her about that.
Yeah, it's fun to connect the loop.
Yeah, it's super cool. That's super cool. Well, man, I got to tell you, this has been great, a real treat for me, because I really love this record. I've been digging it since it just came out, and it has been one of the records I've been listening to the most this year. I have to say.
Well, thanks for the support, man. I think it's worth listening to. There's a lot of good shit on there. You know, it's like, it's not just that. You know, it comes from the heart. It really does.
Yeah, yeah, folks, you can get Who Shot John? It's the third solo release from Eric Shankman. Pretty much anywhere you can download music. Can anybody get hard copies? Are there hard copies available?
Yeah, you can get Orange Vinyl. Orange Vinyl is available, and it sounds good. It's and looks cool too. You can get that from the same platform. I think if you just go to the buy link on my page or just, you know, on the .com, just search my name. It's S-C-H-E-N-K-M-A-N, Eric Shankman. And you can get Orange Vinyl through that buy link.
That's right. Cool.
There. If you can't, just message me and I'll tell you how to do it.
Super cool. Yeah, folks, ericshankman.com. You can go there and you can purchase the record there. And you can also go wherever.
Or find me on Instagram or Facebook, you know, on that stuff that I was mentioning. All the video stories will be out, like, periodic. In fact, the first one's coming out on Relics. We're going to premiere this video on Wednesday, the 23rd of August.
Oh.
It'll start then. Wow. So there'll be Lincoln's Feet will come out. The video for Lincoln's Feet will be coming out then. And then I'll just continue to drop songs for the next several months because I've got a bunch. Did I tell you which ones? I got Lincoln's Feet.
Right.
I got Locked in the House All Day.
Right.
And I got Agent Orange Blues and Who Shot John, and then there's live stuff on No Pain and the rest of them too. So there's we're gonna mix up a bunch of that stuff too. So you know, just keep, if you keep tuned, stay tuned to my channel, you'll see.
Very cool. It's like a smorgasbord. That's good.
It's a smorgasbord. Yeah, exactly. And it's all relative to the record you called me about. So there you go.
For sure. Wow, super cool. And folks, of course, you can check him out with the Spin Doctors. He is an original.
Any old weekend in USA.
Yeah.
We're online. Just spindoctorsband.com.
Yeah.
You'll find us somewhere. I just come back from Kansas. Next week, I'm in 12. Yep.
Tulsa. Right on. Living on Tulsa time.
Next weekend, and it just goes on.
Super cool. Yeah, the road goes on forever.
Happily.
Yeah.
You get to keep on playing, and you keep on getting a little bit more experience, and your voice gets a little bit more stronger, a little rounder. You have a little bit more ability to tell a story, to listen to a story, to participate in the story. So,
absolutely.
Rock on.
Absolutely. Eric, man, thanks so much for being on Guitar Radio Show. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Guitar Radio Show. Man, thank you for having me, bro.
All right. Hold on 1 second, but we're going to sign off right here.
birthday hour.
Hey, this is Mitch Gallagher from Sweetwater. September is guitar month here at Sweetwater, and all month long we have exclusives, limited time offers, 48-month interest-free financing, price drops, instant rebates, giveaways, and so much more. Check it all out at sweetwater.com or call 800-222-4700.
Check out Guitar Radio Show on iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher Radio, guitarradioshow.com, and anywhere you get your podcasts.